Galatians chapter 5, and I would like to read just the first three verses. Galatians chapter 5 and the first three verses. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. When we come together to worship the Lord, and when we meet for fellowship like this, we take the opportunity to turn to the scriptures so that we might hear something helpful for our lives. Hear something, as it were, directly from the lips of the Lord or from the pen of one of his apostles. We come to remember what the Lord has done for us. We come to thank him for his love and his mercy in saving us. We come to honour his name. And we gather feeling our need for his help, seeking his guidance for matters to do with God and with man, and to ask for his daily direction for how we live our lives. And we believe that a spiritual relationship has been established by God in our lives, by which he leads us through the troubles and the trials and the confusion of this present earthly life. We could say this present evil world, and it would be the same point. And we believe that by his kindness, occasions such as these, simple as they are, do our souls good. We are here because we believe that these occasions do our souls good. Now, in recent weeks, we've been listening as the Apostle Paul has been wrestling with the Galatians, who had become distracted by these religious zealots who were, it seems, following the Apostle Paul around with the purpose of undermining his ministry and persuading young Christian believers away from the gospel and away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. These men were troublemakers. They had infiltrated the Galatian churches, and they were blinding people's eyes to the truth. They were binding consciences with a heavy yoke of legal duties that they imagined would please God. And they were shackling these Gentiles with a ball and chain of works, claiming that it would enhance their standing with God, which in truth is the essence of all man-made religion. The real motivation of these Judaizers was to prosper themselves, either for their own material good or to elevate themselves or in some way to recommend them back to some seniors in Jerusalem or whatever it might have been. But it was for selfish reasons that they were trying to diminish the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And Paul, anxious about the well-being of the Galatian churches, has gently, in the past four chapters, but firmly, challenged the Galatians with their foolishness for being so easily duped by these Judaizers. And the Apostle has restated the gospel that he had previously preached amongst them. That is, that Christ's redemption is a completed and successful work. That justification is free and it is all of grace. And that the true spiritual faith of a believer is God's enabling gift to those he loves and purposes to save according to his own will. And Paul's defense of the gospel closed at the end of chapter 4 with an explanation of how the Old Testament history of Abraham's relationship with Hagar and Sarah and the births of their respective children, Ishmael and Isaac, the one contrived by the flesh and the other given by promise, was an allegory about grace and works, and that the Galatians, realizing that, ought to follow the example of Abraham and reject or be rid of the Judaizers and cast them out like Abraham had to cast out Hagar and Ishmael. And our recent studies in the book of Isaiah, because here we're about to speak about circumcision, and people might think, well, what on earth has circumcision got to do with all that we've been talking about? But our recent studies in Isaiah, you might remember me saying this last Lord's Day, we saw that the prophet summarized the whole of the law, the whole of the Jewish religious system, under the single law of Sabbath keeping. He spoke about those who kept my Sabbath. And that Sabbath keeping was signifying the whole religious system. Well, here Paul uses circumcision in the same way. Instead of using Sabbath keeping, he uses circumcision to convey the same thing. Circumcision was a cutting of the flesh to signify a spiritual relationship and inspire a national covenant identity amongst the Jews. But it became symbolic of the whole body of duties and responsibilities that fell to the Jews. And if there was any proselytes came into the Jewish faith, then they had to be circumcised as emblematic of the fact that they were submitting themselves to the whole Mosaic system. They had to accept the whole truckload of stuff that came with it. And the circumcision was emblematic of their acquiescence to that. Now, the Lord's apostles had very early, after the ascension of Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the Lord's apostles very early rejected imposing these Mosaic law duties on the Gentile converts. Now that's another study, but that decision was taken at Jerusalem by the Church of Jerusalem. They gathered apostles and the Church of Jerusalem, and it's recorded in Acts 15. We have thought about that in the past, but basically they realized a couple of things. One, that these were too much for even the Jews to carry. So why would they impose them on to the Gentiles? And also that they were pictures of what Christ fulfilled. And we've seen in the earlier passages of Galatians that we've looked at how the apostle stood for this Christian liberty of which he is speaking here in chapter 5, stood for it right at the beginning when he went up to Jerusalem for that conference, and also as he withstood Peter later at Antioch when Peter was to be blamed and when he had led away many Jews, including Barnabas, by his error of reverting back to these Old Testament practices. Paul says, we're done with that. We're through with that. We've got to understand that our Christian liberty has to do with our recognition of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. So Paul is here speaking up for Christian liberty. And our Christian liberty as believers is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells the Galatians that they must stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, the liberty that Paul is speaking of here is the perfect, complete freedom that Christ has obtained for his church and his people by his obedience, sacrifice, and death. He has, as the representative of his people, redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. So that all of the claims of the law are satisfied in and by Christ. And this liberty, this freedom, is a characteristic of the Christian faith. And it may well be, and rightly contrasted with servitude, slavery, and bondage. The bondage and slavery that comes with sin, in which we are all trapped by nature and by the fall. So that the Lord Jesus, by his death as our substitute, has freed us from our bondage to sin. He has freed us from our captivity to Satan, and he has freed us from the curse and condemnation of the law for every breach of its demands that we would have been guilty of. Now, this does not mean that we have no sin. Although we are freed from the bondage of sin, it doesn't mean that we have no sin. It doesn't mean that we are not tempted by Satan to sin, although we have been freed from the captivity of Satan. Nor does it mean that we are lawless without any standard of righteousness. What it does mean, however, is that we have been blessed with a new relationship with God, founded on Christ's suretyship work, his representative work as our head, which is infinitely superior, more precious and rewarding, and it is not to be given up or surrendered for any reason. Our Christian liberty was dearly purchased by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not to give it up without a fight. Christian liberty is enjoyed by faith, and it consists in seeing and believing that all our righteousness and all our justification is in and derived from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's not just say those things without realizing what they mean. All our righteousness, everything that recommends us to God, is in and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have nothing in ourselves that recommends us to God. Everything is derived from Christ. All our acceptance with God is built upon Christ's full payment for our transgressions and his cancellation of our sin debt. It is to do with the complete removal of our guilt and condemnation, and all our reconciliation, all our peace with God, is based on the full satisfaction that Christ has paid. And we have a full and free supply of grace for every divine requirement that is laid upon us. This is what our Christian liberty consists in. It is understanding this position that we have, this ground upon which we stand as beneficiaries of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these Judaizers, they were proposing that the Galatians abandoned those principles, those assurances, in order to return to a system of human effort and fleshy striving, as though man's works could in some way contribute or replace the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. And that was a notion that was both foolish and false. And Paul says to the Galatians, you've got to stand fast. You've got to remain unmoved in this liberty. You've got to hold firm to the truth that you've received and reject utterly the false teaching of men who clearly had never themselves personally tasted or enjoyed the blessings that they were trying to get the Galatians to forgo, to give up. Now remember how I started our little talk, our little time today. Remember how I began these few remarks by saying that we are here as well as to thank God for his grace, also to learn something helpful for our lives and something comforting and securing for our souls. And that's what Paul is giving us in these verses. This is the foundation stone of Christian doctrine that I wish we could all grasp and keep a hold of. That Christ has made us free. Let no one bring you who know what Christ has accomplished for you into bondage to works by enforcing on us any religious obligation that is supposed in some way to enhance our standing with God or improve our relationship or increase our holiness. Jesus Christ is all our standing, all our holiness, and all our hope. Our rest, our peace, is enjoyed by faith. That is, that not by what we do, by faith, by trusting in what Christ has done, what he has accomplished. And as we stand fast in the conviction that no contribution from us will add anything to that. Let me close by just making this point. The Apostle Paul uses the word entangled to describe the Judaizers' proposals to the Galatians. He says, being entangled again with the yoke of bondage, or he warns against being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And by the use of the word entanglement, he is expressing the subtlety with which legalism and ritualism and works righteousness can ensnare us. Little things that seem insignificant, like what we eat and what we drink and what we wear and what we watch and how long our hair is and how long how long our skirts are or our jackets or whatever. All of these things which are imposed out of, I don't know, some sort of cultural idea of what is proper, what is right, what is appropriate. Little things that might seem insignificant in many ways. We have to be careful that they don't begin a process whereby we find ourselves ensnared in a form of activity that we imagine recommends us more to God. And it gets even more subtle than that. Practices like dutiful Bible reading, when and how we pray, how often we go to church, these can be employed to entangle the Lord's people almost casually and imperceptibly. As believers, our spiritual relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ does not consist of food and drink or even routine, except to the extent that it is useful and helpful to our spirits. And too many have become bound up in imposed expectations. Someone telling you what you should and what you should not do as a Christian believer, without realizing that our relationship with God is spiritual, it is guided by faith and the personal witness of the Holy Spirit. Believers are the richest, freest, most blessed and privileged men and women on the face of this planet. We are the sons and daughters of the King because of the blessings that we have in Christ. So let us guard these blessings carefully and hold them dearly and stand fast against every encroachment against them. Our Christian liberty and the purity of the gospel are two sides of one truth. And Paul was determined that neither should be compromised. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.